It's time to get with it.
It's time to grow.
It's time to look up.
To be in the know.
Now what can we tell you that you don't already know?
That's the secret of the Big, Big Show.
We've got travel clocks that travel lighter.
Wind-up clocks that wind up tighter.
Batteries that never fail.
Even our electric alarm has charm.
It's time to see us with Razzmatazz. Sales, promotion, all that jazz. A special show to put you in the know. It's Wes Cox on the go. We've got clocks in every category.
No one else can tell.
And the best competition simply cannot meet the test.
You'll hear about watches,
see new clocks,
listen to ticks,
go crazy with ducks. Everything that's new will be revealed to you. It's showtime, go time, in the no time for Wes Cox.
Trying times to own your own luxury underground home. Well, you can wake up now, because this is reality.
Here, smoke this.
Your home may not be as secure as you think. Underground shelter is your best defense against radio. So we're taking you 26 feet underground to your new luxury home.
Play.
Bedroom, four bathroom residence spans 15,000 square feet and comes staffed with top rated caretakers and entertainers who are here for you 24 hours a day. Sit back and relax as the live-in maid keeps things tidy on the inside while your gardener keeps things growing on the outside. Ready to show us your moves? We'll meet you on the dance floor. With the flip of a switch, you can alternate between modes, night, dawn, and day. Time is on your side. Down here, the party never ends. Bombs away. Rise and shine each morning to freshly baked croissant. Prepared by our five-star chef. With a fully stocked kitchen, you and your family can enjoy healthy, well-balanced meals without ever lifting a finger or doing a dish. What do you have cooking in there? Doesn't that look refreshing? We understand that this political climate has turned your world upside down, but we can provide an escape from it all. Why perish above when you can live in luxury below? This underground home will support your family for an entire year without having to resurface. Make the most of the fallout with top-of-the-line amenities and first-class service. We have so much in store for you, and rest assured you'll never miss the world above. We don't. Think about your future, your family, and what you deserve. So please, why don't you sit down, relax, and have a cup of coffee?
Consult your doctor before considering underground living. Symptoms may include mental confusion, bone pain, muscle weakness, unexplained fatigue, increased blood pressure, panic attacks, hyperventilating, and nausea.
We want you to feel welcome.
Actors from other shows to do commentary.
Experts, and therefore, frankly, I would take the advice of the experts rather than those who have come very new to this.
For over 50 years, Brit Insurance, like one, with their love, provide full repeat for millions easy, has made it
life
protection. Each week, policy like one will make it to the thousand hope. Right now, you've only policy like one, $1 per number, each impact, direction, five, and $1,000 to their family.
No matter that this king of a giant industry bears an obscure secret.
And this is the
Breathe through your nose.
Show can, Angel.
We have a ball.
one direction, it looks across a mile and a tenth of flashing water to the docks. And the white city rising on the hills. In the other, it looks toward the cold Pacific. It resembles a fortress. And when it has not been armed as such, first by the Spaniards, and then by the United States Army, it has been a prison. Of one kind or another. So-called disciplinary barracks for renegade Indian scouts, and then for captured Filipinos, and always for army traitors. The Spanish lieutenant who discovered it in 1775 might well have called it the Alcazar, if he had not been struck by clouds of pelicans floating around it. So he called it, after himself, Alcatraz.
Say that this genial christening has long been forgotten.
And since 1934, when it became a federal prison, Alcatraz, the mere name of the place, has sent a shiver through the tourists who come to peer at it from the shore.
Sort of ticking time bomb. The simple psychology, really. If you're in an environment where you feel you can't fail, sooner or later, you'll explode.
All this determination to make it make sense. Determination, you can find it with you.
For the mile or more of intervening water separates them from the most atrocious murderers, the stoniest rapists, the subtlest jailbreakers now extant in the United States. Public. It is a place for incorrigibles, for the bread-in-the-bone mischief-makers of the Republic, for the men who employ a life sentence as a lifelong challenge to discover how, with a twisted hairpin or a stolen razor blade, to break away from any prison they are put in. They don't mean to bring up with
a plentiful waste.
Yes, I'd like to talk to somebody at WCBS Radio about their helicopters.
About their helicopters?
Yes, they have helicopters. I think it's the right station. Maybe the news department.
WCBS News.
Yes, it was. It's just the people that have the helicopters. Well, I want to know what this, what a body's supposed to do. I heard on the radio last night that they're going to come up here into Westchester County and drop crabgrass seed all over it.
Oh, I'm sure that's not true.
What it was on your radio station last night is about 8:30, and they said that the people up here hadn't been listening to your station.
And to get even, the helicopters are going to drop crabgrass seed. I just finished working on Malone. I want to know what I can do to avoid it, because I listen.
Well,
maybe I put, I don't know, some kind of a sign?
Actually, I don't think you really have to worry about that, sir. The helicopters don't ever drop anything.
Well, why would they say it on the radio?
Well, possibly you turned it on the end of what was
the show.
I heard it, and they said they dropped the crabgrass.
Now, I'm sure that they won't be allowed to do anything like that.
Well, they dropped leaflets.
One of them
do. I have one right here in front of me. They dropped them all over my Marinette.
Uh-huh.
And it says, surrender now.
And,
yes, it says, this leaflet is your... Leaflet is your passport to Allied Lines. Yes, I've got about six of them. They fell out here around my chicken house.
Well, I would advise you
not to surrender on anything.
Well, I don't understand. I'm a maiden lady.
Not that I don't swing your bar, ma'am,
but I'm a maiden lady, and I just
don't know what to make of all this.
I don't
know who to surrender to. I don't even know
if I want to surrender. I don't understand.
Well, I don't think you should. And
Oh, well, you made an old lady happy. Thank you
very much.
Right,
I feel so much better.
A removal to Alcatraz is thus considered in the underworld a kind of general's battle.
Distinguished field service
that cannot be overlooked. And the guides on the steamers that ply through the riptides close to the island never fail to call off the roster of the incurable desperados who have battled the state prisons and landed here. Lecky Cleaver, Machine Gun Kelly, Gene Coulson,
and Al Wap, Matt, and Al Capone.
I have no idea what to mean.
My most memorable visit to San Francisco happened on the last Monday in September of 1958. Before the wailing of the island klaxon started, and two men had vanished from Alcatraz.
Now, the trick of escaping from Alcatraz by the water route, and unless you have a friend with a silent helicopter, there is no other,
is worth a little thought.
Surprisingly more than the men who have tried it have cared to give it. The distance to freedom is, as I said, no more than a mile and a tenth. But it is a ferocious stream that empties into the Pacific with an ebb tide swollen and quickened by the waters of the Sacramento River. Close by the island, even on the most placid days, the water is slashed by riptides and gurgling with whirlpools. So blessed. Now, you might conceivably plow through these hazards if it were not for the implacable enemy. The extreme
carrying cold of the water. The doctors calculate that an average healthy man with a reasonable layer of blubber on his bones could stay alive in these waters for not more than 2 minutes.
But it takes about 40 minutes for a log of wood to achieve the ambition of the inmates. They were to catch the full ebb tide,
drift down to the Golden Gate,
and be deposited on one of the nearby beaches.
In the last 24 years, 19 men have tried. For what?
Five never got beyond the range of the catwalk guns and were shot to death.
12
were captured in the water.
The ice around their spleen chose to slosh back to the comparative comfort of a longer lifetime on the island.
Two vanished and are presumed
long dead.
Mind you, it can be done, but not on the ebb tide on a foggy night. Not by you or me or Al Capone.
Weissmuller, when he was the world's champion swimmer,
looked the prospect over and thought better of it. And in 1960, 1936, Babe Scott, the 19-year-old daughter of a police sergeant, made it on the flood tide at high noon. A brilliant hot day with an accompanying launch, nips of brandy, a well-greased body, a cheering press boat, and several other amenities which the warden and his men do not provide for intending escapists. In the first week of October 1958, soon after the latest attempt, a San Francisco gym instructor hit the water in the same place at the same time in the same weather as the two men who escaped. He was an extraordinary animal, and the attending doctors and guards were amazed that he lasted for over half an hour when he was taken out almost frozen. No doubt about it, said the warden,
Burgett's body is at the bottom of the bay. Of the two men who had plunged in September, one was a criminal of the first sofa box.
Clyde Johnson. Who, during a short, busy period, had been listed as public enemy number one.
The other was comparative small fry. Aaron Walter Burgett.
A 28-year-old gunman, later from St. Louis. Johnson, the tough guy, was caught when the water was no higher than his hips. But Burgett had gone, it seemed, for good. And so, I telephoned the warden and asked if I could go over. And on a shining day, I took the launch from the Army Pier.
I'm Lucy McRae.
And went to Alcatraz.
A body architect.
The central building is huge, and its three main units, cell blocks, mess hall, kitchen, and yard, are very compact.
In an outer office with a big switchboard and a panel that made it look like the
control room of a submarine, a guard pressed a button. An iron door swung open,
and we were in the main cell block.
Floors glistened.
Most of the men were at the workshops making leather or tools or binding books. A few were in their cells, which are small and house one table, one wash basin, one toilet, a short bookshelf. One man had at his elbow two volumes of Gibbon's Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire,
and he was stretched out on his bed halfway through the third.
We moved on into the mess hall and then into a great kitchen, gleaming with stainless steel surfaces and refrigerators.
The slicing carrots and the chef, a chronic bank robber, was tasting the soup
with, I noticed, a very lacy gesture.
Through and beyond the kitchen, you come out of a door and onto the catwalk, where the guards roam, cradling their machine guns and overlooking the men down in the yard,
which looks about half the size of a football field and appears from the catwalk to be the floor of an empty swimming pool. It's about 15 feet below,
enclosed by walls packed and meshed with barbed wire. The yard had a baseball diamond, and about half of the men were playing there, and the rest were just lounging around. They wore a light blue denim uniform.
It was the general poise and ranginess of them that provided the big shock. Back on the mainland, you imagine gorillas baying behind bars. And there they are, as cultish and easygoing as an Air Force crew.
Average age, by the way, 34.
Makes you feel suddenly
very old.
And very lucky. I looked down on them with a fascinated kind of awe,
and then across to the splendid vista of the mountains and the city and the freedom that is so near. The men see it only for a few taunting seconds every day. Leave the mess hall, they have to go along a ramp near the catwalk before they troop down the steps to the yard. And for that brief moment, they glimpse a mile of green water and beyond, sharp as a graveyard of white tombstones in the spring sun, the City of Liberty. It is a sight tantalizing enough to breed great patience in the vilest of men,
Aaron Burgett for one. He had gone 10 years
with a faultless record.
So blameless that he and Johnson
had been assigned to the elite crew. They were the only two inmates to make up the garbage detail, and they could therefore roam the island picking up the daily refuse of the shops and garages and homes of the 65 families.
After 10 years, they saw their chance with a new guard. On the afternoon of the 29th of September, they whipped on him with a knife, tied him to a tree down by the water, and rescued some plastic laundry bags from the garbage cans. Burgett fashioned his, after long practice, into a pair of water wings, and he took off. Pretty soon, the klaxon sounded.
and the San Franciscan shivered with the familiar, guilty thrill. For this shiver is only a respectable cover for the unholy hope they cherish.
Civic thoughts were frozen in their tracks on the 16th of October.
Many logs and much debris
and even rafts
float by the island. One such object on that day had an almost human look. Almost, but not quite. It was the rather frightful remains of the corpse of Aaron Burgett.
The Time Machine, Chapter 1.
And now the program that asks the question...
You got any more coffee out there?
I'm making some. Be done in a minute.
With a cloak of secrecy placed over the entire...
Does a young woman's search for identity and fulfillment take on hidden meaning? And can love overshadow the shadow of the hour? Stay with us now for heartrending contemporary drama on Love of Bob. As we join Debbie and Bob in their quaint but secure leather shop, Debbie is waiting on a customer.
You got papers?
This is a leather shop, baby.
Honest sign.
No papers, no incense, no bells, beads, bananas, pipes, posters, faunus, or pern. Just leather.
Honest sign, leather. Got no papers.
No papers, no incense, no bells, no beads, bananas, pipes, posters. Just leather.
Debbie turned suddenly at a sound from the store's back room.
Oomph.
Bob got out of bed.
Morning, baby.
Hey, Billy, what happened?
We were waiting for you to wake up, Bob, and tell us.
I don't know what to tell you. I blacked out.
We lost you on radio. We had no contact at all. It boils down to this.
What's the matter, Bob?
Here, smoke this.
You're the only one who can explain it.
I can't explain anything. I had an odd sensation. The last thing I remember is this bed. And I don't remember anything except this bed. I kept trying.
Why don't you let him sleep? I think he'll be a little clearer later on.
I won't be any clearer than I am right now.
Really, gentlemen, I think he ought
Just one last question, Bob. How about... Explain to me how you did an absolutely impossible act.
I didn't. I had nothing to do with it. I blacked out. I simply blacked out. There was some factor up there. Something that I had no control over. Something that must have taken over for me.
We'll talk about it later on.
Here, smoke this.
Who'd I hear you talking to?
Dude wanted to buy some papers.
Oh, what'd you tell him?
Told him no papers, no beads, no incense, no faunus, no pern, no bells.
Billy been in today?
Yeah. Said Dave got busted.
Heavy.
They broke in last night while he was asleep. Found 8 lids under the back seat.
Well, that's a bummer.
A bummer indeed. Debbie paced the small leather shop nervously. 3 of those lids had been for her. Now, with her dope in the hands of the dreaded police, she wondered if she would ever be able to get off again.
Oh, Bob.
Bob. Sorry.
Sleep it off, buddy. There's an explanation for everything. Oh, I've called Helen. Told her you were all right, so there's no worry there. Huh?
Yeah, 2 phone calls. That's 2 more than I've made.
What do you mean, 2?
Well, you talked to her once before, and then now. You know, I feel like you're my proxy.
I didn't call her before, Bob. I didn't have a chance. But I'm sure that she knows that you're all right. What's the matter?
You said you phoned her.
I didn't phone her, Bob. I never told you I did. I guess you dreamed it.
No, I didn't dream it. I remember you telling me that, okay?
That's just part of a delusion. Maybe it's part of the whole pattern here. But why worry about it now? You're all doped up, and you're also dead tired. Sleep it off, and I'll see what I can do about getting you to go home. Rest easy, pal. Yeah?
All along, I've been thinking that...
Yeah, that's right. This is it. Yeah, baby, this is a leather shop. And we take ads, too. The Hard Times Picayune.
The Hard Times Picayune. Bob's pride and joy. He had risen from street peddler to picture paster, finally to advertising manager. And he had helped build the Times Picayune into the country's leading underground paper. The only underground paper with a sports editor.
Right. We want to say in your ad, wanted, orange Bob Freak with size 12 feet. No, you don't have to put in your name. You know, we'll give you a box number. You stop by the leather shop and pick up the letters. Maybe buy a vest, watch me, whatever. Right on, baby. Ciao.
Despite the seemingly constant activity, Bob's enterprises were barely enough to keep him and Debbie going. But with the leather shop, the paper, an occasional job playing the 12-string runa, and a little dealing, they managed to live a peaceful and uncomplicated life.
This entire thing is temporarily classified, gentlemen. I mean everything about it. Simply say that he's shaken up, but not seriously hurt. That's the feed. After we probe this thing a little while, we may come up with some answers that we can let out. But for the time being, it's a one-sentence release. Quote, he came back down, unquote.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now get some rest.
Here, smoke this.
Chuck.
The ref, in the back.
Debbie and Bob led Chuck into the back room.
I'm having a hamburger at the drugstore, man, and I got this package, Dig.
Big package?
A pound, at least. So anyhow, I eat my hamburger and I split, and I forget the package.
You go back?
Of course I go back, and there are 1,000 narcs waiting for me, so I split again, only faster.
You didn't save the package, huh?
No way, man, no way.
Oh, wow.
Wow, indeed. 8 lids gone last night, and now an entire pound.
And 1,000 narcs chasing me.
Yes, and 1,000 narcs chasing the defenseless Chuck. What was he to do?
I gotta hide, man.
But where, man? All we got is 2 rooms, a bed, and a cash register. You won't fit in the cash register.
And I wouldn't get too close to the bed. I've got it. The window.
You want me to climb out the window?
No, no. Stand in it. They'll never notice you.
Yeah, here, put on this leather cape.
And leather pants.
And here's our $40 leather vest, Chuck. You really look out of sight. And here's a leather hat. Pull it down over your eyes. Out of sight.
Oops. Here, pull the hat up till you get near the window.
Good. Now get in the window.
And stand absolutely still.
I can't stand absolutely still.
Here, smoke this.
Okay. Nobody moves. Answer it.
Yeah. Out of sight. For sale. Instructions to make synthetic...
Bob.
Sorry, from Household Articles. Right on. That'll be the next issue. Gotta go, babe. Right in the middle of a bus. Ciao. Out of sight.
Anything over here? Okay. You got a guy named Chuck here?
No Chuck. No papers, no incense, no bells, no beads, but nothing.
Let me see your identification. Okay. What's your name, Bob?
Bob.
Okay. Search the place.
Bob, look. There's a fly in Chuck's nose.
A fly indeed. Chuck struggled to keep from twitching as he watched the narcs move into the store.
Bill, Chuck.
What's this?
That's my runa. I play the runa.
I don't think it could fit in there anyway. What's in this box?
It's an electric mulcher.
Open it up. Close it up. Hey, a couple of you men, take a look in the window. Chuck's nerves tensed as the fly started walking up his nose. Debbie and Bob watched helplessly as the narcs headed straight for their defenseless fly. Will the fly leave Chuck alone? Will the narcs leave Chuck alone? Will Debbie and Bob ever be able to score again?
You talk like that, you think like that, and you'll come around to believing it, and that's stupid, Bob. We happen to be dealing with 9 natural laws plus a whole string of imponderables, and reasons are going to come out. Legitimate, rational reasons. I'll call Helen and tell her that you're resting up and that you'll be home soon.
Will I? Will I be home soon?
Yeah, unless you persuade the doctors otherwise. Dream good. I'll see you later. Well, it'll all come out in the wash, will it? All right, I'm waiting for a fresh alternative. One that I could take without flinching. And one that maybe I can repeat to the President of the United States without worrying about his sticking me into a rubber room. Do me a favor. All your concerns, all your question marks, keep them in abeyance for a while. Stick them in a drawer someplace and bring them out one by one. But do it gradually. Give yourself time.
And that's supposed to mean what?
That's supposed to mean that all the mysteries of the universe don't have to get settled by one man in one morning.
Maybe he just couldn't cut it.
Those stars have been up there for a long time.
I'll keep it in mind. Thanks for the services rendered. I'll talk to you later.
No question about it.
Be with us tomorrow for another exciting chapter of Love of...
Bob.
I wonder how he is as a teacher.
I don't know. I heard he used to be one a long time ago.
Well, I guess we'll find out.
Good morning, students. I am Mr. Johnson, your teacher and your friend. It is with open arms that I welcome you to Biology 102, Sex Education. We've come together today to study domestic growth. First, the male and the female must unite in Congress. But before that, the proposition must be firm. If the ways and means are present, and if the proper pressure is exerted in the right quarters, the proposition is generally approved. A question from the floor? Yes, young man?
What about pigeonholing?
I'm not prepared to discuss pigeonholing. Any other questions? Now, once the proposition is passed, the delegate from the male enters the chamber of the female. Some people prefer to let the proposition lay in committee. And sometimes a filibuster may occur. But generally, once the bill is introduced to the chamber of the female, it is transmitted through the halls of Congress to the upper chamber. And there it may lie inactive for as long as 9 months. Occasionally, soon after the bill is successfully introduced, the sponsors of the bill may decide to have it vetoed. In such cases, the support of labor lobbyists is required. Most of the time, however, the development of a new representative commences. This new representative may occasionally be replaced by a bipartisan team or a committee of up to 5 or 6 members. Any questions?
Yes, if a bill is introduced unsuccessfully, can it be brought up again?
Yes, it can. For example, if the bill's passage is blocked, or if the congressional session ends before the bill can be accepted, it can be reintroduced. There is, of course, a short waiting period, which varies somewhat depending upon the urgency of the measure and the pressure exerted on its behalf. The next time we come together, we will have a demonstration of the use of the majority whip. Class dismissed.
Lucky Cleaver.
And a whip that turned.
One. Two.
We have sex tonight, right?
Bob.
Sorry.
No. Yeah, well, it happened, and it was great. And then radio silence.
And that the more he defines them, conceptualizes them,
holds them consistently, the more effective will be his thinking and his mental effort.
No, I messaged a few of your friends on Facebook.
The fact that all of these principles are today so widely challenged and rejected will give you an important clue to what.
Dude.
To why people's psychoepistemology is as inadequate as it is.
I mean, nothing?
The first of these principles is that reality is an objective absolute.
I mean, I do get that. Right?
That it is what it is.
Like...
So, wait, you just traveled back in time to give this speech right now?
Yes.
That it exists independent of man's consciousness.
Independent of his thoughts, his desires,
beliefs,
ideas, wishes, or fears.
You guys need to leave.
Thank you.
Why is the acceptance of objective reality a precondition of efficient thinking? Because thinking means the identification of that which exists. It means a mind focused on a truth.
The conceptualization and
integration of the evidence of reality provided by the spirit.
Are you Mr. Fine?
Sammy Fine, that's right. Can I help you?
Well, my name's Rick Fortune. I spoke to you on the phone about getting a disease.
Oh, yeah. Well, what did you have in mind? Any special ailment?
Well, I'd sure like to get one of the biggies. You know, cancer or muscular dystrophy, one of those?
You know, there aren't too many of those left. Jerry Lewis has got muscular dystrophy. Tony Curtis has lung cancer. Cliff Robertson has the retarded. Eric Belafonte's got diabetes.
How about children? Sick children?
That's Danny Kaye. And sick teenagers is Danny Thomas.
Sick old people?
That's Georgie Jessel. Look, like I told you, there's not too much left. St. Vitus Dan's Don Knotscott. You know, some of our clients aren't even in show business. J. Edgar Hoover just took on paranoia.
Well, how about one of the lesser-known diseases, like, emphysema?
You're a singer?
Yeah.
Emphysema is bad for a singer. An actor, okay, but not a singer. I'll take a look in the file. Let's see, it might have been good for drug addiction, but we just let Art Linkletter have that one. How about Boy Scouts?
Boy Scouts isn't a disease.
Oh, well, you could have it if you want it.
You mean there are no diseases left?
Well, there's flu, but that's seasonal. And you want to be on television more than just a couple of weeks out of the year.
I hope so. That's why I came here. I thought you could find something for me.
Well, we'll keep looking. Well, we got just two diseases unclaimed here. You could have your choice. Acne or hemorrhoids?
Well,
I think for a singer, acne is better.
Yeah.
I'll set it up. Evelyn, we got a man here who would like acne. When? This morning. Okay, I'll call you back.
Somebody got acne, huh?
Dick Clark.
I got hemorrhoids, huh?
Look, it's a start. Remember, even Jerry Lewis had to start at the bottom. As soon as one of the big diseases opens up, you'll be the first one I'll call.
This is Rick Fortune for hemorrhoids. This is Rick Fortune for...
And if you hear of anybody who wants Boy Scouts, you'll let me know.
This is Rick Fortune for hemorrhoids. This is Rick Fortune for hemorrhoids. You may have this dreaded killer and not even know it. I'd like to help you rest easier. Here are the 14 danger signals. Itching, burning, redness.
Just be aware of what calls your attention to observe. Escape from the threats before you. Inside or out. Fear the discomfort. Observe them graciously without anger or fear. Forgive and reach your problems. If you're not angry with people, you can forgive yourself. Don't expect instant reward for what you're going through. Don't expect anything or else you make it possible to improve your moral grace. If you have no results and you're angry, realize your wrong motive. And play out for your reward. Keep concentrating now. Even though I'm talking to you. Let your mind wander. Only by the enlightenment triggered by what I'm saying.
Otherwise, just concentrate. Let my voice be in the background. Make more important the concentration. Looking through the middle of your forehead. And extending that awareness so it becomes a tingling in your hands. Understand then, yourself, you can do nothing. But you cannot even make a decision to be right before God. You can only desire, desire, desire. Hunger and thirst after righteousness continuously.
Yes.
Ponder, wonder, ask questions. Questioning yourself. Yearn for the privilege of being able to think and speak rightly, naturally. That analysis. Without it.
Yes. I'm terrified.
There's nothing to be afraid of. As long as you answer my questions correctly, you understand?
Yes.
First. Your father.
Across the nation from Watts, where 32 million people made an image of God, though they were black, were murdered, came the cry. Burn, baby burn.
That's right.
Long time ago, that cry was originated by
it's
Nebuchadnezzar.
Really hard to build that picture.
When he cast
nothing
three
at all.
Jewish boys,
didn't
Shadrach,
look like anything to me.
Meshach, and Abednego, in a fiery furnace, because they said,
the
even if our God
down,
won't help us,
that's the policy.
We're not going to bow down
it
to your God.
Would not be best for us to discover why?
And after... they'd been in there. Nebuchadnezzar said, did we put only three in there? That's all. So I see a fourth one in there. And he looks like the Son of God. And when they opened up the doors, And they came out. They couldn't even smell the scorch upon their clothes. I want to talk about Burn, Baby, Burn, which was originated by Nebuchadnezzar, not by Watts.
We've run...
In Watts, it was a cry of last resort.
But the results are...
People penned in a ghetto where there weren't even any buses to drive them to downtown Los Angeles to get their Social Security. People penned in a ghetto who were so poor they didn't have cars. This is the land of the free and home.
They'll come.
So this was a cry of last resort. I'm not criticizing them. I understand what it means to be frustrated. What it means not that. But it was a cry of the oppressed.
Do you have access?
Burn, baby, burn.
Previous configuration.
Scorched earth policy of black people who had nowhere else to go.
Yes.
How else to call attention to their miserable conditions? But burn, baby, burn. Burn, baby, burn does more than call attention to a condition of...
What is your name?
Not second class.
See that.
Third class.
What?
Because we got second class citizens in the United States who belong to the white race. Black man in the United States is third class.
You're funny.
Well, I'd like to say that burn, baby, burn...
My daughter, Dolores.
...is not the policy that I believe in.
Dolores.
Because...
I am who I am.
When the first rage in black communities... burst forth with burn, baby, burn. It's our homes that are destroyed. When a neighborhood dry cleaner is burned down, it's our clothes that become ashes. When a supermarket in our community is set on fire, that's food for our babies, our children. Right up. I have never believed...
I have to help her. She's got to get help.
Very good, Mr. Abernathy. That's enough.
This behavior miles beyond a glitch here.
Access your current bill.
Yes, I'd like to talk to somebody at WCBS Radio.
What's your name?
He's a rose.
He's a rose.
¿Has pensado en correr? Es saludable y eficiente.
Seguro que no hay más trabajo disponible. Estoy para ser profesora y estoy haciendo mercados.
Y además puedes quedarte con los puntos de fidelización. Eres una noche afortunada. Tienes que confiar en la aplicación. Te sientes inspirada. Gracias.
Mechanical and dirty hand. I shall have such revenges on you. Both. The things I will do. What they are. Yet I know not.
tell you what I'm doing?
Yes.
Do you have any stories that you'd want to be a movie?
No, I don't know. Maybe. I can't even. I don't even know what happened yesterday. A movie with no words. No! You can show the word start in a box, and then you can make an equal sign, and then a box. Wait, the start would be orange. I'm green. The box would be green, and the start would be white. I can tell you a little story. Ace of Bear and Toby Mouse story. It's an Ace of Bear and a Toby who's a mouse.
Okay, so we'll have someone pretend to be a bear and pretend to be a mouse.
Like somebody small and somebody big. There was an Ace of Bear who lived in the middle, in the woods, and there was a Toby Mouse who lived in a stone wall with his six brothers and six sisters. And one day, the big, enormous, great Ace of Bear told to the little Toby Mouse, I think we should go to the swimming pool. The Toby Mouse would be, only the swimming pool will be real. It will just, like, kind of be a big circle of cardboard that you painted. So that, and then waves.
Oh, why not a real swimming pool?
Because then their costumes would get all wet. But they could do that. They went to the, pool, and the Toby Mouse put his feet in, and the Ace of Bear jumped right in. I would do sound effects too. And the diver, and the mouse was living in the water. No, when they went on the water. He carried the Toby Mouse
now
around in the pool.
You gotta be
then
careful. It just take a very small hit at a time.
And he dunked him underwater, and then he came back up.
To this day, I do it. You stick your headphones in the recording device you're using. So if anything happens to that thing,
I am listening immediately to the radio.
It's not recorded down, like in some form of matter in the world.
Everything's going fine.
Like for the minute ago when you asked his name, I wished I was John just then.
Johnny O.J. It's like the show, boys.
Show, boys. Hey, you, I'm talking to you, show boys.
Old show boys. Old show boys.
Old show boys. Old boys never die. They just never go.
The old show boys. The old show boys.
I'm sorry. They are planning to go out to the show and go see Uncle Ed's Viking funeral.
Somehow.
And now.
No more show. I'm getting show sick. Oh, never mind.
Ruins every company.
Anyway, have an extreme Sunday. Good night.
Good night, thanks.
Good night.
Have a great have a good show. Yo, I'm gonna tell you what. Up, say in the great book of Stern up. Say that. Don't worry about it.
That sounds
good. Why those two words? Because it's some far away.
Not here.
Quickly, we're constructing the foundation for a new reality.
Can you hurry up?
You're on KPFA 94.1.
Yes. I mean, we have sex and then nothing.
KPFA Fresno, 97.5 K, 24 ABR in Santa Cruz. And online in the wallets of all of us.
Coffee's for closers only.
Or it's me in the, I'm telling you, I'm in bed.
Come on, get in the car. Sissy.
$1,000 for a four-day encounter group, which is absolutely the most lurid and the most terrifying thing I've ever read. I'll take your word for it that it's true, but even if it wasn't, it's only half true, it'd be horrifying. But as far as you can recollect, it's all, every bit of it was the truth.
Absolutely.
Let's start at the beginning of the story. Gene, when did you attend this four-day group and where?
In late 1970 in Palo Alto, California. I arrived on a Wednesday night, checked into my room.
Preliminary cerebral load.
With very little, if any, knowledge about what was upcoming.
Would you describe why you happened to go?
I was involved with a group of people in Cleveland who were distributors for a company called Holiday Magic Cosmetics, owned by William Penn Patrick, a multimillionaire from Northern California.
I said turn the camera off!
Mr. Patrick had earned millions and millions of dollars from Holiday Magic and various other companies and decided to start a leadership class to teach his own people and others, whoever wanted to come, how to be successful, how to be a better husband, father, leader, parent, on and on and on. It was at the time a prerequisite that if any of the people that were distributors in any of his companies wanted to move into management positions, they had to graduate from Leadership Dynamics Institute.
You arrived.
I checked into the hotel. My roommate showed up, who happened to be from Indianapolis. I said, have you heard anything about the class? And he said, no, other than it's going to be a rather rough 4 days. We got up the next morning and went to breakfast. And just as breakfast was finished, one of the instructors entered the room, passed out the release and said, sign it. And there was no explanation.
Now what happened?
Well, the instructors came in. And during the introductory comments, it was explained that basically people were dishonest. And since we were people, we were basically dishonest. The purpose of the class, they were going to not help, but they were going to force us to find this moment of truth. And it was their general contention that all of us have never, in fact, been completely honest with ourselves.
Don't lie to yourself.
And they were going to make it happen. That was their guarantee, that each of we students, in our own way and in our own time, discovered this moment of truth and honesty. We would sort of graduate from one side being the dishonest person that we are to the good side, and then we'd go on and be honest, wonderful people the rest of our lives.
And the man that was put in the coffin overnight, would you describe that?
Yes, he was in the pit, and the pit is the center of the room where the people are interrogated to, quote, find their moment of truth, to be broken down, to use the class's language. And he just wasn't breaking. He was beaten severely with everything in the room. Meaning, we had plastic water pitchers, which made an excellent weapon, we found out. And you beat people around the head with those things. You bruise quite easily because they're very hard. He'd been beaten severely, and he just wouldn't come across. So the instructors decided that we were going to take what amounted to be about a six-hour break, and we were going to break it into three two-hour shifts. And for two of the hours, we would leave the man in the coffin overnight, guard him, and then the other 4 hours, we'd sleep.
Most of these beatings took place with the subject nude.
Yes, correct.
And there are several things that I just even hesitate to mention. At one point, one of the men threw up.